Hi, this is Addie with Over a Cup of Coffee with Jamie and Addie, and welcome to our next episode. Jamie and I are super excited about our local celebrity that we have as a guest today and hope you enjoy this big conversation.
Hi, this is Jamie with Over a Cup of Coffee, and welcome to our third season and to this episode. So Addie and I have a really special guest today, but first, of course, I want to say, hey, Addie.
Hi, Jamie.
How are you?
I'm really good. I'm good. Yeah. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
Well, again. I know, but it's been like, at least 2 weeks. I mean, at least we see each other on the podcast.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Or on Facebook.
So it's been a little windy here. Last time we filmed, I joked we were filming from Seattle, which really wasn't true.
Yeah.
But it was so rainy.
Drizzly and rainy and cold. Yeah.
We're in the middle of spring and the wind.
Mm-hmm. But third winter is what I've been calling it.
Third winter. Yeah. It's only 45 degrees today.
Yeah.
And we're in April. So that's getting a little crazy. But we have a really special guest today that everybody in our watching audience, and probably most of you in our listening audience, are going to recognize. Some of you who are listening to us from outside of the Four Corners may not know this person, but he's very experienced in journalism, and I think we're going to have an interesting conversation about that today. So we want to welcome our special guest celebrity today is Scott Micklin.
Thank you.
And welcome.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and congratulations on season three.
Yes.
Thank you.
Season three.
Very exciting.
We think so.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So, Scott, I think that you've interviewed almost everybody in the Four Corners, maybe not in Four Corners, but Farmington, certainly, and the region, and probably the Four Corners from your newscaster days.
Seems like it, right?
Yeah.
I know, that's true.
But I don't think you get interviewed very much. So
No. Hmm. You had to negotiate with my agent.
I
know.
Did.
It took weeks and weeks.
It did take weeks.
To get the clearances to get me here. So thank you for your
So you're kind of in the hot seat today.
I am. I know. Right?
And we're going to ask you some questions. But it is funny because I think you have a very recognizable voice. And so
it's been around for a long time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So can you give us your, like, all the different media things you've done? I mean, you've made a transition over a number of kind of outlets.
Right. True. How far back do you want to go?
Oh, gosh. When were you born?
Right. Born back. Yeah.
Well, where did it start? Like, when did you decide that you wanted to be in broadcast?
Right. It actually started in high school. We had a radio station at my high school, and it was a small, maybe 10-watt station that maybe got beyond the parking lot. Maybe the signal got out that far, you know. But that really got me interested in broadcasting. And, you know, first it was disc jockeying and playing music. And then as I got into college, I got more into the journalism side. And we had a radio station at the college that I attended in Buffalo, New York. And then they had a television show that aired once a week. And so I was the newscaster on that show that did campus news and things like that. And that's what got me into television. And basically that's kind of what happened. So I was in television. Came to Farmington, worked in upstate New York for a couple years in TV, and then moved to Farmington and worked here for about 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get from New York to New Mexico and to Farmington?
Alphabetically. Alphabetically.
Yes, alphabetically.
Backwards.
So that's quite a transition.
Actually, you know, I'd been at the station in New York for a couple of years. And so as people would do, you would send your resume and what they would call a resume tape back in the day, videotape kids. Mm-hmm. And that would be with a consultant. And then they had clients all around the country that were looking for people. And so one of them was in New Mexico, KOB. Uh-huh. And so they were looking for someone and they called me to see if I'd be interested in moving to the Southwest and Northwest New Mexico. And my sister at that time had moved to Phoenix from New York. So she was already in the Southwest. And so interviewed and was offered the job and thought this would be a cool change for a couple of years. And here we are 33 years later.
Here you are.
Yeah.
It's home.
So for our listening audience who's just listening to the podcast and not watching on Facebook, so then we're in Farmington, New Mexico, as you mentioned, the northwest corner of of New Mexico in an area known as the Four Corners. So we border Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different environment than, I would say, upstate New York.
Very much.
Not just going backwards, but going opposite.
Yes, exactly. Right. So did you ever do written journalism? Did you ever work for the Daily Times or
I never did. And funny, you know, when I was going to college, the two were really separate. You know, you had the broadcast track of the radio and TV people, and then you had the print track with the print people, and they always had, you know, their hands were all stained with ink all the time, and, you know, they smelled like ink. No, they didn't. but it was really separate, and it was funny how the two really never interacted because the tracks were so very different. And now it's kind of converged, and it's all one thing now because broadcasting and streaming and print and internet and, you know, it's all the same. So all the skills are the same. It's really funny how that's happened.
So can you go back again a little bit to when you were doing the broadcast on the news, the local news?
Right.
And then now there's some other news sources coming back on. There's Farmington or the local news network and things like that. But as far as an actual newscast, we don't.
Not really.
Why did that happen? Was it social media? Was it just people looking for news in a different place? Was it the internet?
Well, I wish I knew.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't tell me when they just said, thanks for your 17 years. They really didn't even say thanks. They just said, we're changing the locks.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was, I don't quite know. I have a theory that I'm happy to talk about. And I think this was 2007.
Okay.
And people were getting more and more satellite television, Dish Network, and DirecTV, mm-hmm. and the big kind of the big buzzword was getting local channels. And for those companies, local channels meant the Albuquerque
the
stations.
Right.
And folks were signing up thinking local meant the Farmington News, mm-hmm. and then they'd get it, and they weren't getting the Farmington News anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they liked it, but they didn't like it enough to change back, right, to get rid of it. And so I think that was part of it. And so we were starting to see some of the ratings, you know, the measurement of viewers that were watching dip a little bit. We were still making, I think, pretty good money for the company. Mm-hmm. But I think they decided that it wasn't sustainable if that trend kind of continued, because the only way to watch the Farmington local news was either through cable or antenna. You know?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And there was no streaming
back
in 2007.
Yeah.
And so that was, I think, kind of the writing on the wall, and they decided to, you know, get rid of the staff that we had, most of the staff we had in Farmington, and we were doing our own separate local newscast on TV, news, weather, and sports at 6 and 10 o'clock. And mm-hmm. so that went away.
Okay.
But, you know, and they kept one reporter. And, mm-hmm. you know, to their credit, they still have one reporter, the only Albuquerque station that has one reporter in Farmington that I'm aware of that lives here and covers news and sends stories in, at least on a fairly regular basis.
Right.
And so that's something to note, but it's just too bad because it's not the coverage we had before.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I've always wondered, too, because of the size of our community. I mean, we're not necessarily a small community anymore. We've grown. And there's a lot, I feel like, a lot of newsworthy stories that people around the state, I think, could appreciate.
There are a lot of TV markets that are smaller than Farmington. You know, mm-hmm. when you consider Farmington, Durango, Cortez, you know, the greater area that would be considered maybe our TV market, there are a lot of markets in the country that are smaller than we are that have their own 30-minute newscast or have multiple mm-hmm. TV stations that are all competing against each other.
Right.
It's just the way that it kind of got set up back in the day when they were kind of divvying up the country into these
things.
TV markets mm-hmm. that it came this way. But mm-hmm. yeah.
And so now you are very active and involved with KSJE, which is the public radio station through the college. We'll talk a little bit about that. And you have really helped so many organizations and nonprofits, including the Chamber and when I worked mm-hmm. for Child Haven back in the day, to get their information out on what they have going on. Because, again, I struggle with this, getting information out to people about what is happening. And so you've transitioned the radio show, though. From originally, I could show up at 8 with like my hair in a ponytail and no makeup on. And now I can't do that.
She never did that.
You're streaming it. And now you also have a number of like podcasts. It goes out on.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about that transition?
Sure. I mean, we, you know, I've been at KSJE now for 16 years.
Okay.
Since 2007. Very lucky to be able to have stayed in the community after that transition mm-hmm. from TV. And so I'm very blessed to be able to keep doing that. And so the station has been there for a long time, for the longest time. You know, the college paid all the expenses of the radio station. We really didn't worry about expenses, but we didn't spend a lot of money because it was a very small staff. But the college had set it up not as a typical college radio station with students and playing all different types of music. It was really set up to be a classical radio station gift to the community, and they hired professional broadcasters to come in and do that. And that's still what we kind of do. We try to support the arts and the nonprofits and education in the community. And so it's mostly classical and jazz. But my show was that interview show every morning, and we would bring in guests, whether it was nonprofits or just community guests, and have a longer format type of interview, kind of like what you guys do every day. And that's kind of what we've been doing. And then a couple years ago, maybe 2018, we found some technology that allowed us to add video cameras to the radio studio. Mm-hmm. And now it's like a multi-camera video program like you have here.
Right. Mm-hmm. How's the offsite filming going? Because I know
that's
you did
been a
the
lot of
parade.
Fun. Yep, we did the
and the,
we did the Christmas parade.
Balloon fiesta last
the balloon,
year. So
yep.
How
balloon rally at the college.
Balloon, right, or the balloon rally.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have equipment now that we can take it on, we would call on the road, KSJE on the road.
Okay.
And it's been a lot of fun to get out. It's a little more work, right, to take the show on the road.
Sure.
Pack all this up and go outside to wherever. But it's been fun. It's been a learning experience. We've done other things like National Night Out. We were out at the National Night Out event. We went down to Festival of Trees. We were most recently at the Farmington Museum in the middle of the dinosaur exhibit.
Yes.
Stomping was going on in the background. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we've got more planned to be able to do. We've been able to find sponsors for that. We appreciate that.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And we've got room for more. But of course, I think that's another part of the conversation is none of this happens without the support of individuals. And you know, we're a listener supported radio station. We have local businesses that support us, and we couldn't do it without them.
Right. So you do have sponsors, and then you do a fundraiser event, which
we do,
called
It's coming up. It's coming up in May, May 20th, the 0 mile fun run, everyone.
Zero mile.
So if you're sitting either watching us or listening to us, you are training right now for the 0 mile fun run in May. So sign up now.
Yes. Well, how could people actually?
They could just go to our website. It is ksje.com/funrun.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
$15, $20 stay the race.
Okay.
And we
great.
Say race in quotes because it's great. 0 miles.
Mm-hmm. I will sign up.
I'm gonna do that.
You get a t-shirt.
Yeah. Exactly. Before we started, we were talking to Scott about the last walk that the three of us did together.
Right.
And we'll do that in quotes as well for people that are not watching, because Jamie and I had so much to talk about that morning that we power walked through, what was it? Five miles, six miles?
Yeah.
And Scott and his dog.
Well, you thankfully let me tag along for part of that. Thank
you. Yeah. And we lost you somewhere on the trail. But it was a great morning. And that's, you know, another local event that we have here that is very well attended.
Right. Well, and just this format right now, I mean, we film ours on Facebook and we have the Facebook page and we appreciate everybody who watches, but we have it as a podcast. Just podcasting, that's a whole other realm of how people are tuning in to what they're interested in.
Because
I don't even know how many podcasts there are. I mean,
there
I can't even
so
begin
many.
To fathom. But whatever your interest is, you can find a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
And again, just the access to information has changed so much, but yet you've managed to transition and you've managed to stay relevant, which is not easy to do.
Not always, but I'm grateful again for the community. I've been here a long time and I think I know a few folks, you know, talk to and I've always thought, you know, local is really important, especially, you know, some of the fights I used to have at the TV station were, you know, they were very Albuquerque centric or Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to advocate for, you know, these communities in this part of the state that don't get the coverage or maybe don't get all the attention for positive things too, not just when negative things happen and they would send up extra people. But when there's positive stuff, it'd be nice to have that statewide, you know, and promoted throughout the state. So those are fun.
Yeah.
Fights.
In fact, I think they're starting to listen to you because all of a sudden I'm seeing all these positive stories coming out of Albuquerque. I can't remember which station or which it, but all of a sudden it's a lot of positives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think they're trying to counteract some of that, you know, the negative stuff that's always put out by all the positive things going on.
Right.
So
I think
they're listening.
And I think too that a lot of people in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, especially when we, you know, we went down for the legislative session, some of the rooms that I was in, I wasn't hearing Farmington brought up at all. You know, it was Santa Fe, it was Las Cruces, it was Rio Rancho, it was Albuquerque. And so I, you know, what are they going to do? Kick me out, kick me out and send me, I'm going to go to the next room and talk about Farmington. So I would speak up and say, Hey, I'm here from Farmington and here's all the things that we're doing too. And, and, you know, and since I did that down there, I've had a lot of people that I did meet those 2 days I was there, reach out and say, you know, I want to know more about Farmington. I want to know what you guys are doing. I want to come visit. And, you know, and of course, since I have the hotel, that was also a good segue for me there to be able to say, you need to come to Farmington and I have a room.
Right.
But,
there you go. But it's not for free. Here's the rate.
Yeah, exactly. But it's helped. But I think people are eager to really, truly know the positive side of what we're doing up here because we have a lot going on.
Right.
We really, really do.
Very true.
So you are known sort of as the MC of every event.
Am I?
Yes.
Really?
So every event that I go to.
I don't know about that, but okay.
And let me tell you.
Thank you.
Having a good MC at an event is crucial.
Like, and it can make or break.
Oh, it sure can. So you do sort of the master of ceremonies and MC for many different events.
True.
From everything from the Mayor's Ball,
which
just happened.
Spectacular.
Thank you very much.
So amazing.
Yeah, you have a lot of great clothes. Can we just say?
Well, I mean, it's because they keep asking me to MC all these things. I'm like, I better like stock up the wardrobe in order to, you know, show up.
We're the same tan blazer.
And you're known for still in a suit coat and tie, which is great.
Nobody recognizes me if I'm not wearing this.
I'm sure. That's true. But from everything from the Mayor's Ball to the Highland Games.
Yeah.
And you do have the full Scottish regalia.
True.
So really? Are you, is that your heritage?
It is not, actually.
So how did you get all those things?
Well, there's this thing called the internet. Jamie, I don't know if you're familiar with it. You can buy a lot of things on the internet.
I've never done that.
And they don't check to see if you're Scottish or not.
Haven't you been to the Scottish store downtown?
The Scottish store. Well, if you've ever seen Scott at the Highland Games, you've got the jacket. You have the little things that on the socks.
The tassels.
Yeah,
and
sure.
One year you were in the Bonnie Knee contest.
Of course,
Bonnie
right.
as in B-O-N-N-Y. And didn't you come in second in the Bonnie Knee?
Actually, I came first
that?
A couple of times.
Oh, you did?
And then I think I was second runner-up. One year
well, the guys
as well.
Are all in kilts.
What is that?
The guys are all in kilts. And so
it's a contest to judge the quality of your knees.
And so you have your
for men.
Yeah.
Because the organizers thought, you know, there's a lot of contests for women, but there's really not much for men. And how can we, you know, put them on stage after a day of
debauchery?
An event that sells alcohol
and
have women feel your knees. And there you go.
So anyway, this goes on, and you won twice, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
That's
awesome.
Well, wow, that's amazing. Is there anybody else who has your same track record with the Bonnie Knees?
I don't think that was won twice. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think
so.
And then they discontinued that and went to a different direction.
Okay.
When things kind of,
When you kept winning, people said, I'm not doing it anymore.
I wasn't winning after that. It was all right. But it was fun. It's a great event.
My Google search is going to be tonight.
Yes. There you are.
So Highland Games, Scottish Festival, you have been very instrumental in that. But I mean, it's just a number of events. Those are just two that come to mind.
But it's nice to be asked, you know. I have to say, you know, I if folks didn't keep asking me, I wouldn't be doing them, obviously. But it's really nice. And I always like to say, if I can make it, I will be glad to show up. And I appreciate being asked.
Well, how much you've done the Christmas parade. Well, in the 4 or 5 years I've been involved in the Christmas parade, you have emceed that along with Devin Neely. Yep. And so that, you know, we really appreciate all those events that you do. And I don't think people realize how many. In fact, I should have asked you if you could give us a number from like the last year. And
oh,
I know 2020 and 2021, you can't really count.
Yeah.
But if you had an average of how many different events you are asked to sort of, again, be that master of ceremonies.
Right. Gosh, it's a few, you know, it is a few. And again, but it's nice to be asked. And, you know, I think just this week, you know, I think this week I've done one, next week there's one, you know, it's probably once a week or so.
Well, I think we appreciate
nice.
It. You give your time and it's important to that event to have those different events and nonprofits. So, All right. I'm going to ask you some other questions. So I don't want to see if Addie has any questions for you.
Fire away.
Well, I don't, I'm like really enjoying the conversation here with the two of you because I know that you guys go much further back than we do. Mm-hmm. But like I said, before we started recording, I had a thought, but I may have dreamt it. I don't know. We'll find out in another episode down the road that I was in a conference, a professional conference in early 2000 that I'm almost certain I don't know if you did a workshop or if you were just, you know, it was on media, but, and again, then during that time frame of my life, I could have absolutely been in a foggy dream.
Okay. All right.
Well,
I could have done it too.
Scott was emceeing my dreams.
It's possible, right?
Well, you do teach classes.
Yeah, I do teach at the college. I do. That's true.
Broadcasting classes.
Right.
And so how are those classes pretty popular? I mean, are people still wanting to get into radio and things
well,
like that?
You know, I don't teach radio per se. I teach public speaking.
Okay.
And so that's really transferable to a lot of professions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So sign up, kids. Stay
yes.
in school. And I also teach an intro to mass media class.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a little bit more in the broadcasting realm, and that's really mostly related to our digital media kind of pathway at the college for film and video games and things along that line.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
those are the two that I teach.
Well, and you mentioned public speaking, and we are working on a new project through the Chamber Foundation with youth leadership. And public speaking is really important because you never know when you're going to get asked just like, you know, on that moment's notice to speak.
Yeah.
And I know so many people are terrified of public speaking, especially if it is kind of that spontaneous, hey, will you get up here and tell us about, can you take a few minutes and tell us? It's terrifying to them.
True.
Mm-hmm. So how in your class briefly in a couple minutes, like how do you help people get over that fear or is it just more?
It's kind of a vicious circle, right? You've got to, in order to get over your fear, you have to do it more.
Right.
And if you hate to do it, you got to, you know, but that's kind of what I tell my students on day one. It's like, you know, this is why we're in this class together. We're going to get up in front of each other and introduce ourselves and learn more about each other so we don't feel like we're talking to strangers and practice through the semester. And then by the end of the semester, you may still feel uncomfortable, but hopefully you'll feel more confident to be able to get up and talk about something in front of a group of people.
Right.
And that's kind of how we start it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because some people, it really is a, it's a phobia of having to get up and speak.
It truly is. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is different because it's just the three of us. And, of course, Greg is here. And, but when you're in front
of the audience of 5,000 people out there, I mean, they're being very quiet. But,
but I think when you get into that space of 400 people or more, or even 15 or 20 people, if you're not comfortable with it, it's very intimidating. So I think that's a very important class for everybody to take. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah. I had, you know, because I was trying to overcome my fear because I wanted to get on platforms and I wanted to speak on some of my things, you know, and I've been on your show for my drinking and overcoming those things. But I didn't want to take a class, which might have been the best way to do it. But I had a girlfriend who was starting an Instagram page, and she was just, the lives were just starting to kick off. And so she said, well, what I do is I drive around in the car and I have my phone set up and I just hit record and I talk into the camera as I'm driving. And it's not really like, you know, it takes a little bit of the pressure away. And so I was like, well, that's a good idea. So I started doing that. And then I would replay it and I'm like, oh, okay, you're better each time you do it.
Right.
And then Snapchat, of course, I love Snapchat and the filters that have the voice changers and the face changers and things like that. I would be silly and I would do that to also kind of like break my own ice.
Right.
And I would send those to some of my friends that I trusted to laugh with me. But I did that for the first couple of years of my sobriety, also to kind of get myself used to speaking to people in general without having some alcohol in me.
And it
really helped. But I also, I do still have to tell myself, you're not public speaking. You're just Addie coming into a room full of friends or new friends, if you don't know them, and you're sharing information. And that was, you know, that just all learned on how to, you know, how to do that. But I think at this point, I'm smarter now. I would take a class.
You should take Scott's class.
Well, there you go.
I know. There I know. Yeah.
But that's a great way to do it. And that's all about the practicing and getting better every time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I tell my students to practice and prepare and rehearse and be ready before the presentation. And that can really make a difference.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I'm going to ask you just a few things so people get to know you better. So,
okay. All right.
What is your favorite hobby?
Favorite hobby? Besides sleeping, right?
I like sleeping too.
Yes.
I do have a maybe small addiction to Legos.
I knew that. That's what I was hoping you were going to say. So you've done the Titanic, correct?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Goodness.
And then
yes.
You got some new sets for Christmas because he posts all this on Facebook. I follow him on Facebook. It's not like I have.
Stalker.
So, and because I've got this massive dollhouse project going on in my basement right now that I've become like obsessed with. But I keep thinking, no, there's other people out doing these Lego things.
Right.
And the Lego sets have gotten insane.
I have to hand it to the Lego people. They know their market, and they know that the kids that played with them as kids, this guy, and grew up and now have maybe a little bit more money to spend on them. Mm-hmm. They really know their audience is all I can say. But yeah.
So when you finish these models, do you keep them set up or do you take them
apart? I have a Lego room.
Okay.
Jamie.
So you're making me feel better. See, I'm asking these questions so that I can prepare Darren for when the dollhouse stays up.
I'm running out of shelf space in this room. So that's a problem.
Well, we have some family members that did the Titanic it is massive.
It's probably about as long as this table in front of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but it's good. I think for me, it's a nice stress reliever. I don't know if you find that.
Oh,
but
it's
well, it takes your brain out of the other things.
Yes.
It puts it into something you enjoy doing, and it's focused attention on this tedious thing that I definitely cannot do.
No, she's not into it. I am.
But I can do my makeup for 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And if you look at me, you know I'm not spending 2 hours on my makeup.
I rarely do that unless I want a special picture.
There you go. There are some models that do take a long time, and a lot of it's repetitive, smaller pieces and things like that. But I think, you know, the accomplishment at the end is really kind of cool. And the Lego and the Legos are, I mean, they're really attention to detail is pretty cool. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, the attention to detail. And I think that's why this dollhouse thing is, I mean, just the detail that I'm putting into it, but others are. And it's, you know, pretty amazing. So you have a dog. You have Borzois.
I do.
And you have Boris, Borzoi.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit why a Borzoi and what's the history?
Not?
But what's like their history? I mean, they are amazing dogs. But I think you're the only person in Farmington I know with Borzois.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know of anybody else, but that's possible. They're Russian wolfhounds is the other name for the dog.
Okay.
But they're known as Borzoi. And basically, my father's family came from Russia, emigrated from Russia back in before the revolution. And so I actually found their records at Ellis Island on a visit.
Cool. That's very cool.
And then settled in upstate New York. And so when I was growing up, there were ads in the magazines for a vodka company called Wolf Schmidt Vodka. I don't remember those, but they all featured Borzoi. They all had the dogs in them. They were all czars and very elegant looking scenes. And I always thought those look like really cool dogs. But that's all I ever knew was just their images from these ads. When I got my first job outside of college, it was in a small town in upstate New York. And I thought, I'm going to get a dog. I'm an adult. I can get a dog. I want to get a dog. Why not? I'm in a one-bedroom apartment, but I'm going to get a dog, a big dog. And so I thought, well, maybe I should do some research. And so, again, this is prior to the internet, so you actually had to go to a library.
Like an encyclopedia.
Talk to people, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lady and her husband who were breeding Borzoi, and I went over, and they all just said, just come and hang out with us and the dogs and see how you feel around them, if they're not too big or, you know, and you'll get an idea, and then you can decide if you want to get one of these dogs. And that's kind of how it started.
Oh, wow. How many have you had? Because you had two. Do you have one now?
Just one now.
You had two at one point, right?
I had two for a while,
Okay.
And so, but I had one probably since that time, so probably since the 80s.
Okay.
You know, and they live, you know, they're bigger dogs. They don't live as long as a smaller dog, so maybe 8 to 10 years.
Oh, wow.
But I've had quite a few. Mm-hmm. And they've all had Russian names because you just have to have Russian names for Russian dogs, like Boris.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Exactly. But I've had Nicholas and Alexandra, two.
Oh, I love that.
You know, and then I had Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff.
Oh, that's
were the two others.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Were very famous. Yeah.
And I also
cute. So cute.
I know. And they're beautiful dogs. They're gorgeous dogs. So I know as well, you, I know all these things because you probably do.
I'm sure you can tell what color they are.
So because I'm on your radio show every month, yeah. we always, before we get going on your radio show, we always like talk about different things. And again, mm-hmm. Facebook makes you feel like you really are know what's going on in everybody's life. You have a player piano. Do you still have your player piano?
I do. Okay. I actually upgraded my player piano. Okay. It's a newer player piano, but I had bought a player piano back when I was in college and found it at an antique store. And so it has moved from New York to New Mexico to Maryland to New Mexico.
Oh,
and
wow.
So around. And so it was showing its age. It wasn't doing very well. And so I was able to find another one, gosh, probably in 2020. And so I upgraded to a new player piano, but it does the same thing. It plays music by itself, and uh-huh. I don't have to take lessons, so it's perfect.
Oh, that's very cool. I've never known somebody in person
that has
one of those
piano?
In their home. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe you need to have Eddie come over to
yeah,
see
a player piano. Piano
if you've never known a yes. person. Well, he was getting his player piano delivered at the same time I was refinishing my
yours?
Piano at home
right.
to turn okay. it into the whiskey bar. So we
okay.
had this conversation
well, and when he
about
said 2020, I was wondering yes. if it coincided yes. with your piano buying.
Yeah, we were talking about
piano. Right.
Also so, another very cool
but now,
piano.
You know, the old one used to have all the music on the rolls, the piano
right.
rolls.
Oh, right.
And the new one now came with an iPad.
Oh, so oh.
all
you have to do
is. Now all the music is on an iPad.
Wow. Technology.
Right? It's
yeah.
amazing.
Ever changing.
Yeah.
Really cool. Well, Scott, this has been absolutely delightful.
Yes.
And again,
yeah.
I appreciate you so much. I do a lot of radio stuff, and you are a great interviewer, and you really research before your interview, and you really ask those questions, and you have helped to get so much information out over the 25 years I've lived here. I've been listening to your voice, and I know others have too. So
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Kind.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank
yes.
you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And thank you all for joining this episode of Over a Cup of Coffee with Jamie and Addie. And we hope you'll tune in. And again, thank you to our special
yes.
guest, Scott Micklin. And of course, to my friend, Addie, thank you yes. so much for all you do to help this keep going. And Greg Allen, we appreciate you yes. so much for being our producer.
I know we wouldn't be doing this a third season if
that's
we
right.
didn't have Greg.
Thank you. And we will yes. see you soon.